Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. And today's guest is Michelle Holmes, CEO of Homeschool Directive. She is a veteran homeschool mom of 30 years, and her desire is to help you give your student the best home education you can for their high school years. That's right. She's here to help you in those high school years. She helps homeschool parents create high school credits that meet their homeschooled teens' needs and interests. You'll get clear on credit requirements and be able to work out a plan for the next 4 years so you can confidently prepare your teen for life after graduation. In this episode, we talk about how you can use anything and turn it into a lesson and create credits based on that. Also, we talk about reinventing yourself and learning new things as an adult and parent, and show how what a great example of a growth mindset that is to your children. And lastly, how you have worked so hard in the elementary school years. Don't give up now. The high school years are the easy part. You worked for this. So go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Michelle has to say. Let's get into the podcast. I will be holding a lesson planning masterclass on October 15th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The first 100 people will get it for $25, along with 2 one-week science lessons after the masterclass. Register below, and I will see you on October 15th. Today, we have guest speaker Michelle Holmes from homeschooldirective.com. Michelle, say hello to our listeners and tell us something you think most people don't know about homeschooling.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. And you know, what I find most interesting about what people don't know about homeschooling is that homeschooling high school is hard. A lot of people think that homeschooling high school is hard. And I'm here to tell you that it is not hard to homeschool high school. And another thing that I found that people don't really understand, that the modern homeschool movement actually started in the late 70s, the early 80s. John Holt and Dr. Moore, they kind of began this modern homeschool movement. And it was actually meant to be educational reform and not traditional school at home. And I think that's really important today, because with COVID and everybody coming into the homeschooling community, sometimes they get a little confused that, hey, I got to do exactly what the public school is doing in my home. And that's a huge misconception. Homeschooling was never meant to emulate the school system. It was designed, the modern homeschool movement, to be an alternative and to change things up and do things differently.
Wow. How we all get things confused, you know? A lot of times when you see a pattern over and over again, and a lot of us came through from the public school system because it's all we actually knew. So there's very few people that I've met recently that are either second gen, you know, homeschool, but I have met them. It's not that I haven't, I really have. And they have such strong convictions and such concrete thoughts and values, which I think is amazing. And I know for me, for a long time, I had to work at those things because I had so many different voices coming at me, telling me different things and telling me what to believe. And what's so cool is in homeschooling, the family is able to really speak into the family values and into their children. But at high school, sometimes parents get a little nervous. I know as a high school teacher, I will meet a lot of high school homeschool students because, you know, either they want the public school experience or Better yet, I think parents are like, you know what? I think it's time for you to go to public school because they're just a little nervous. Like they're thinking that the work is so much harder, that everything is going to be more difficult. But in our last conversation, you actually said it was probably easier than teaching elementary and middle school. So tell us, you give people direction on how to create high school credits, meet their homeschool teens' needs and interests. Tell us more about Homeschool Directive and how parents can utilize your services.
Well, I would love to. So first, I'm a veteran homeschool parent myself of 32 years. I've actually just graduated my eighth child. She graduated high school this year. So 2022, I retired as a homeschool parent, but my adult children are homeschooling. So I will be in the homeschooling community for a very, very long time.
Right.
I started Homeschool Directive as a result of helping a lot of homeschool parents in my local community. I ran a homeschool co-op that focused on high school classes, and we would average like 100 families, about 200 kids.
Wow.
And so, you know, over the years, there was a lot of conversations, a lot of coaching locally. And then, you know, COVID happened, and then I moved online to help homeschool parents take on the high school years. And so that's how Homeschool Directive kind of is why it's online. It's because I really feel strongly that with a little support, a homeschool parent, when they're having those feelings that you were talking about, oh, high school is scary and I don't want to mess up my kids for the rest of their lives, I'm just going to send them away, that, you know, homeschooling, anybody can homeschool. It's not for everyone. But with a little support, it takes that scariness out of it. And you can homeschool all the way through high school. And
that's awesome.
They're there to help you with, is to take on those high school years with confidence.
Yeah. And that's so important because, you know, I also have heard that same thing that parents are like, oh, I want to ruin them. And I'm thinking, why would you think that someone else can do a better job than you? Someone who doesn't even know your child, how is that even possible that they're going to be able to better raise your child, better teach your child? Like, you've been there since the beginning. And I'm so glad that your services are there to encourage parents and to just help them understand, like, you're equipped. You have everything you need to be able to just overcome and, like you said, tackle the high school years, right?
Yeah. You know, I think what's really interesting that it doesn't make a difference if you've been homeschooling your kids from kindergarten or you're jumping into homeschooling at junior high, high school. The veteran homeschool parents that have been homeschooling, they have the same fears as if they were jumping in at the high school level. And it's that fear of not understanding what's expected of you as a parent. It's like, what are graduation requirements? What does a credit really mean? I don't think the homeschooling community has done a great job until now with Homeschool Directive, but explaining exactly what's expected of you as a parent to facilitate a great high school experience for your teens at home without buying a box curriculum. Now, box curriculums are great. They tell you exactly like, oh, this is what the credits will be if you do the whole thing. But sometimes box curriculums don't really work for your kid, and you need to think outside the box. But we're living here in 2020 with tons of resources for the homeschooling community with online classes. My oldest daughter was one of the first students to take college classes at high school, do dual enrollment. But now the catalog, local college has a whole section. If you're a homeschooler, here's how you take classes at our college. And so homeschooling has just become more normal, right? But they still don't talk a lot at the high school level, like what are you supposed to do as a parent? And that's where the fear comes in, is how do I do a transcript? How do I know what to teach and when do I teach it? And what happens if I don't want to teach chemistry again? And understanding that you as a homeschool parent have a lot of resources out there. And once, you know, like once I teach you like what graduation requirements mean, what a credit means, and there's actually like four different ways that you can create coursework and count that towards your kid's high school experience. And once you know these things, you're going to be like, oh, I can do that. You know, you as a teacher, you were trained and taught that, right? Like, what does a high school credit mean? It just basically is a measurement of time that was spent on a certain subject, right? And you were taught that in your career choice, but homeschool parents that aren't teachers, we're always thinking we're missing something.
Yeah, actually, we never were taught that. We just never had to deal with it because counselors do it. Counselors get taught that. So I think parents, a lot of times, they give us a lot of credit. No pun intended. Yeah, they think that we know a lot. I'll be really honest. Half the time, I don't even know what I'm teaching until like a couple of days before the class even starts. And I mean, last year, I taught physics for the first time. And the last time I took a physics course was 20 years ago. Maybe more. So it was one of those things that I was like, yeah, I remember taking physics. I liked it. You know, I'll just have to go back into it and, you know, refresh myself. And I'll be honest, I actually relearned everything. It wasn't even a big deal for me. I guess the difference between my mindset and someone else's mindset would just be that I'm not afraid to learn. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to learn it. I'm going for it. And I think that teachability and that desire to want to learn. And I told my students too, I was like, I haven't taught this class ever before. It's my first time. And I'm excited to get into it with you guys. So, you know, what if you guys find things that you want me to share on this topic, let's do it. You know, otherwise, you know, I have things set up already, but I'm not adverse to, you know, adding new material that would interest you. So I'm really super flexible when it comes to those things, because I do understand that education isn't, you know, this regimented thing. And I think a lot of parents also think that I get through my whole entire curriculum, and I don't. Absolutely do not. I might miss more than half of it.
When I tell people to look in the author's notes, the author's notes usually tell you how much you have to complete of a book. It's like mind blowing. It's like, what do you mean I only have to do 75% of this book? And like, once you start talking about this out loud, that, you know, the author has an objective, and it's okay if you don't match that objective for that book. If you only want to use half of that textbook, use half of that textbook. Curriculum is a tool. It is not your dictator. And so when you start talking about like, hey, the reason why you don't have to do all of the textbook is because there's built-in review. If your kid is just going from next to the next step up, they might not need the review. So yeah, you can skip the first 20 chapters of that textbook. Like, they're like, what? You know, that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm glad that you're having me on here, is because they need to hear, even as a public school teacher or something like that, you don't do all the whole curriculum. And we have that same freedom in our homes. And once we start viewing education as a long, lifelong process, and that our goal shouldn't be producing children that can regurgitate short-term information, but that they have actually engaged in the learning process, they have become lifelong learners. Like, I would rather have a lifelong learner than someone who can pass a test and forget the information next week. Because I have some kids that are wonderful at short-term memory.
Oh, I was one of those. I mean, I remember I got through college through acronyms, literally. If it wasn't for an acronym or some type of mnemonic device, I'm not 100% sure I would have gotten through college, because literally, I mean, they give you 3 months to get all of this information. And I remember telling my microbiology teacher, because she was very like, you have to learn all this. And I said to her, I said, I just need you to know this. I was like, you've been teaching 20 some odd years. You know this. And you want me to reach your 25 year level in 3 months, on top of my other three classes that are expecting me to do the same thing, it's unrealistic. And I just remember telling her that, and she's like looked at me, and I was like, it's not gonna happen. I'm gonna do my best. You know, so I remember I just used a lot of tools, mnemonic devices. My biochemistry class, the paper was coming down, the test, and I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, we have a test today. I'm like, and I completely forgot. And I was like, oh no. And I looked at the girl like ahead of me as I'm getting my paper. I'm like, give me a mnemonic device. And she just threw it out really fast. I wrote it on my paper on the side. And I was like, just go through it really fast with me. So she, as the paper's coming down, she's reading out what each one of these letters means. And the paper came, the papers got fully handed down. That's when you have to be quiet. But I had already written out mnemonic device. So I was like, got it. So I was able to pass the test because of a mnemonic device. So you're absolutely right. I think a lot of times parents have a different type of thought. They're thinking that it's so much more, I don't know, I guess put together than what it really is. And I agree with you. As parents, they have so much more freedom. They actually have way more freedom. Like, I teach biology, right? And in my course right now, I'm teaching on the kelp forest. How I would love to be able to bring all my students to the beach, right? Go on a kayak, move out into the Pacific Ocean, show them the tops of all of the kelp forest, to be able to even go onto the beach and pull some of the seaweed, which is kelp, and like literally spread it apart and show them all. I can't do that. I don't have the resources or the time to do that. I have to get permission slips. You know, hopefully they would let me get a bus. I'd have to get lunches. I'd have to get, you know, any type of release forms, any type of security things. I'd have to have another teacher. I would be missing my other class. I mean, it's just a mess that it's not even worth sometimes. I'm like, you know what? Let's just get a video and watch it through there. And I mean, there's creativity that can bring in the kelp into the classroom, and that's another thing, but I'm an online teacher, so I don't have to do that. But you know what a parent can do when they have people who can like direct them, right? Like tell them, hey, you got this. Here's how you can make it really fun and engaging. Let me help you. I've gone through this already. I've walked this walk. Take my experience and now build on it. And it's like they'll be modeling the same thing for their kid because they're gonna be teaching their kids, and their kids are going to take it over like your kids are. They're now homeschooling.
I have three adult children with school age kids, and they've all chosen to homeschool. So
That's awesome.
that's awesome. And I think that what you're hitting on is that being the flexibility that comes from homeschooling is how you get your children to buy into the learning experience. I couldn't have made it 32 years if I homeschooled the same way each time.
Wow, powerful.
My ADHD and my dyslexia, like, because I have dyslexia and I have my own learning, I would have been stabbing myself in the eye. But thank goodness that, you know, I had people speaking into me when I first started homeschooling back in the 90s that it's educational reform. You don't have to do box curriculum. And I'm so thankful for that because each of my kids, even though I have high school graduation requirements that are required for my homeschool high school academy, my kids each had their own educational experience because I took into consideration their desires, their goals in life, what they wanted to excel in. And I was allowed, because of homeschooling, to cater their whole educational experience around those topics. And when I tell people that my kids have never asked to go to public school or private school, I'm serious. And I think that's because it was so in tune with what they wanted to learn that they said, I would lose my own freedom of what I wanted to learn. There's no way I would go into a public school where I was being dictated. My youngest that went to college to start taking college classes was 13. She took French at the college level. But homeschooling gave us that opportunity, right? She was planning on going to France and different things like that. So they always had this desire to learn. Homeschooling gave me the freedom to customize what they wanted to learn. And I could count everything that they wanted to learn as a high school credit. I still tease, like, I can turn anything into a high school credit.
I love that.
So if my kid said that they wanted to live in a van underneath a bridge and be a traveling McDonald's employee, I could turn that into a high school curriculum and give them a ton of credits off of it. Because just think about all the skills that you have to learn. You could learn van life. You can learn how to security, how you're going to stay safe. Can you even get a job being a traveling McDonald's like employee? But that's what homeschooling does. And, you know, it's giving my children the opportunity to take classes at the college level. So my daughter, the youngest that I had go to college was 13. She took French and we used our local college. And, you know, the local colleges have a ton of money to use. And some of my kids got their college classes for free. My one daughter, the first daughter that started taking Spanish at the local college, she paid like $25 a credited hour. Right. And then my other, I had twins that went and took classes there. And at that time, the scholarships were, if you got a C or better, you got your money back. So they just kept rotating the same $1,000 over and over again. And so the local colleges have been a way for us to accelerate learning, but yet not have to go to high school, because we had a family decision that we weren't going to let our kids graduate early, and that you're learning. And because some of my kids were done with high school by the time they were sophomores.
Wow.
And so I'm like, well, I don't necessarily want to graduate my, you know, sophomore. So they just spent their junior and senior year working on writing and like taking a trade. Like I have, my son did photonics. My one daughter became a cosmetologist. One became a Pilates instructor. Like, so they all learned, one became a sign language interpreter. One learned a trade during their junior and senior year. So my kids had all these experiences. So they went to the college. All of my children have chosen to continue their education at the college level. It's just a decision that they've made. I have tons of friends whose kids started businesses, or there's a lot of different choices that our kids can do. And I think they're all successful choices.
Absolutely.
And so when you're in the homeschooling community, I think that's another thing that confuses parents coming into the high school, is that you're comparing your kids to somebody else's kids. And that you're like, well, my best friend's kids wanted to do this one certain pathway. And if I was to put my kids in that same box of learning, my kids wouldn't have been happy, because maybe my friend's kids wanted to go to an Ivy League school, and my other kids are like, hey, I want to get out of college as cheap as possible and start a business, right? And so I think there's a lot of comparisons, and it doesn't have to be friends. It could be like in your own family. Let's say you have a sister-in-law, or, and you know, we're getting, the homeschooling movement has been going on long enough. Now you have mother-in-laws that homeschooled, right? So we're starting to be able to compare ourselves to more and more people. And the damage that could be done is that you're not focusing on the right people. You should be focusing on your teen and creating the best possible experience for them. And who cares what all your friends or everybody else is doing? Because your kids is the one that's going to have to go pay their bills as adults. So you need to be setting them up for what they want to do, what they're passionate about, so they can take care of themselves as adults. And that should be our goal as a homeschool parent.
I love that, Michelle. That was such powerful words. And, you know, I think with that type of paradigm, parents are going to just be able to direct and help their kids, you know, literally do what they want. Everything you said that you were talking about really just talked of freedom and the ability for your child to focus in on the things that they love to do, to become excellent at that. You know, there's a scripture that says, those who are excellent in what they do, they go before kings. And that is really powerful. And nowadays, I mean, for us, it wouldn't be kings, but it would be presidents and future and all that. And, you know, just people who have really excelled in their life, you know, as our kids are growing and they're able to really hone in. I mean, those teenage years are so formative. They really, really are. And especially the earlier years, yes, they're formative too. But those teenage years is where they are really thinking about what they're going to do the rest of it. And that is so innate. Thinking about what you're going to do the rest of your life really is an innate thing that happens within you as a teenager. You do start thinking of your future. And I find that homeschool kids have more of a desire to think about that. They actually have more of an unction. They have a little bit more direction. And I do believe it's because parents are more involved. I just do. I see that even in the public school, when I have students whose parents are more involved, I have a completely different student. I just do. And I can tell you, I know when the parent's not involved. I absolutely know when the parent is not involved by the way the child is, the personality, because it's almost the same each time. I will receive the same kind of a kid. It's pretty mind-blowing how you can actually see, like, oh, that parent's involved, that parent is not involved. And it's just so important.
It's the kid has support. And that's the same. And that's what made me want to start Homeschool Directive and be a support to people. So you just don't feel like you're throwing spaghetti at the wall. Like those teenagers that don't have somebody walking beside them, telling them, hey, you got an F in this class, but I'm going to tell you what, it's not who you are. Just because you didn't do well in this doesn't mean that you're not going to do excellent in that, right? They just know they failed this class and they start thinking all these thoughts. But when you walk beside the kids and homeschooling just lends itself for you to have more time. Like I will never look back at my last 32 years and ever wish I had done it differently, because now that I'm on, you know, I have adult children who are homeschooling, and I'm like, what a privilege it was to get to spend so much time with them. So as I started homeschooling for religious reasons and I moved on at the years, I started to homeschool because I just wanted more time with my kids. I just knew, like, oh, they hit that 18 years old, and which is our goal, is to produce, you know, at least for me, it was to produce adult children that I liked, right? Like, that was my goal. I want to like you as an adult, because truthfully, I had some friends and kids who they didn't like their adult children, but that was my goal. And so I can safely say that I have done that. I like all my adult children, but I really think that's because homeschooling gave us that time to have those life conversations at odd hours of the day. We had, my parents died fairly young, but they were sick. My kids had exposure to them because they weren't in public school. They got to spend a lot more time with them. So when you start adding up all the extra time that you get by having them in your home, it really balances out that fear that you're going to mess them up. Because in the end, you're not going to mess them up. If you're paying attention and you're paying attention to homeschool, your homeschool state laws, and you have some type of structure where you know how to issue credits and you know how to issue a transcript, truthfully, I have really never ran into anybody that I could say, oh, that's educational neglect. Right? They were just totally off. And I've met two people in my whole 32 years where I thought, you need to be a little bit more paying attention to what's going on, right?
Yeah. And
then we have to pay attention. Homeschooling is, there's this misconception. Here's these misconceptions today that we can just wing it. You don't wing it at the high school level. You always want to set your kids up for choices in the future. I want to set my kids up if they want to go to college, they have the resources, to the knowledge to go. If they want to go to trade school, we've set them up for that. So the goal is to set them up with as many opportunities that they can for when they can onboard into college. And onboarding into adulthood doesn't just mean have your math facts. It's like, can you do your laundry? Can you balance a budget? Can you deal with toxic people? Do you know how to write an email to a professor and ask them for help? Like, that's all onboarding in high school that we should be doing for onboarding into adulthood, not just being worried about, you know, chemistry and mathematics.
That makes so much sense. So can you walk us through like some of the things that you work on with parents? Because you mentioned a lot of things and a lot of them is encouragement and motivation, but right now you just start talking about some technical things. Can you just give us like a little blurb on like, what are the things that you work with parents on?
So I offer a free boot camp. It's howtohomeschoolhighschool.com. And it was over 3 days, but it's 3 days of training. And what I do is I help you set up your homeschool foundation work. So I teach you, here's your homeschool laws. Here's the things that you need to know about your homeschool laws. What does a credit mean? What is graduation requirements? Like when I start talking about graduation requirements to parents and they realize that every state is different, every school district has different graduation requirements, that each state means that you just have to, each school district has to meet a certain minimum and they get to add to it. Like that's mind blowing. Like in the state of Illinois, where I've homeschooled the last 32 years, our state graduation requirement for the public school system is 16.75 credits, right? But each school adds to it, right? So a school in one town might have 22 credits. Another school and another district might have 30 credits. One school might do full credits. One school might do half a credit. And that's where the confusion comes in, right? So I teach you that we all as homeschool parents have to have a comparable education. Well, in the state of Illinois, it's 16 credits. Like my kids are usually done with that by the time they're finished with their sophomore year. And so it takes that pressure off of that unknown. You can add to graduation requirements. So I teach you that, how to look at your state graduation requirements and decide, are you happy with that or do you want to add to it? And then what is a high school credit and how do your kids learn? How does your kids earn a credit? And that can either be through time, it could be exposure, or it could be mastery. And once you learn that basics, you could turn anything into a high school credit. And that's what I teach you in the boot camp. I teach you how to create your own graduation requirements, think about grade point averages, just kind of talk about transcripts, take that mystery, basic information, take that mystery out of it, set your homeschool, high school, academy up for success. And by having graduation requirements, it doesn't mean that, you know, my kids, I said I had graduation requirements, but I had flexibility where I could change things up. Like, for instance, I'm strong in electives. My kids have to have like 6 electives. But let's say that my daughter she's severely dyslexic. And I had to change a couple of things up for her so we could accommodate her special needs, right? And so that's the beauty. I have this graduation requirements, but I have flexibility so I can really focus in each child individually. And that's what I teach you in that boot camp.
No, that's perfect. So what inspired you to create homeschool directive? Because it definitely seems like there's a lot of work and thought behind it. And, you know, it just seems that you've really put a lot of you in there. So where did that inspiration come from?
By homeschooling for such a long time, there wasn't the resources out there. It's kind of still the same. We've really done a poor job when it comes to helping homeschool parents at the high school level. It's kind of the same, right? Where I ask the same questions that the parents are asking today, even though my oldest daughter graduated, you know, a long time ago. And so those questions are not easily answered. And I didn't want to necessarily use a box curriculum. So if I'm not using somebody else's suggestion of what my high school should look like, and I want to customize, and I want to come up with my own thoughts on, or allow my children some flexibility to study what they want, then how am I going to turn that into a credit? And so it began this search of this information and just a lot of research and trying to figure out, like, as a school teacher, I've talked to my school teacher friends, like, what does it mean to be teaching a class? And how do you know that your kids have accomplished what you were hoping to do, right? And what about grades and grade point averages? And when you start really thinking about that bigger picture, grades are subjective to the teacher. What does the teacher want? When I started saying those things to me, like, what do I want for my child out of this class? It looked different. Sometimes I wanted mastery. Sometimes I wanted a computer science class. I wanted them typing 45 minutes, words a minute, like some mastery. But sometimes it was, I just want to expose them to as much information about Shakespeare as possible, right? And once I started understanding that, then I started teaching it to my friends in my homeschool group. Because, you know, as our kids get older, it's the same questions year after year. And so that's why Homeschool Directive is really just to take that guesswork out of it and really teach you how to customize your students' education so they'll thrive.
So I love how you are able to really articulate everything and just put everything into perspective. And, you know, moving forward, as we're wrapping this up, where can parents find your resources? Where can they connect with you and learn more about what you do on their own time?
So I would love for your audience to visit my website. It's homeschooldirective.com. And from there, you can find my resources. I actually have tools to help with record keeping, to help you create a course. And we have a planner that my kids, I like to say it's a homeschool planner created by homeschoolers, because traditional school planners don't really work for the homeschool teen because there's just different nuances. And so I have these resources on there. And then you can find Homeschool Directive on Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. Love it. You're everywhere. You're just taking care of everything. And are you going to have another boot camp coming up? When do you have your boot camps? Like, do you have them like beginning of every year? When are your boot camps available?
So you can go to howtohomeschoolhighschool.com, and it's an evergreen boot camp. We just made it evergreen because people are wanting to take it, you know, they didn't want to wait. And so we just made it evergreen, which means that you can go to howtohomeschoolhighschool.com and you can download it and have instant access to it.
Oh, that's fantastic. So they don't have to wait for any type of scheduling. Beautiful. Instant access. Awesome.
You know, because homeschool parents want information. They want it now.
Yeah. It has to be fit their lifestyle. And that's another thing that's really beautiful about homeschool. You get to choose your lifestyle, and then you can choose how you're going to teach your children throughout that. I love that. And
that's really important is that you don't have to do school from 8 to 3. During volleyball season and heavy sports seasons, our kids, because they were in high school homeschool leagues, like their practices started like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we did school on Sunday. We called it Sunday school. So it's flexibility to be able to do school. I had one friend whose family was not morning people. Like, they didn't get out of bed till later, 9, 10 o'clock. They started school at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Her kids all became engineers. It worked, right? Like,
yeah.
I think being in the homeschooling community so long, I saw so many different people take on homeschooling high school differently. And it was like, it works. How you set it up for your home, it's going to work. Because I saw demonstrated so many different ways. And that's the beautiful thing. It doesn't have to look like your homeschool doesn't have to look like anybody else's homeschool.
I love the fact that you brought that up. I think that is another thing that parents think, that it has to look like school at home. It's not. The flexibility is amazing. So with that, our last question, we're wrapping this up. What is one big takeaway you want parents to walk away from our conversation today?
I want your audience to hear me when I say, you can take on the high school years and you can do it. And if you need someone to walk alongside you, reach out, DM me. I'm here to help you. It is my goal to help a million people homeschool through high school, right? Like, I just think homeschooling through high school is such a gift to the family. And I want to see more and more people not get afraid of it and start throwing their kids in school. Just want to say this really, really quickly, is that if you've been homeschooling and you're in the middle school years, that's the hardest point of homeschooling high school. Like if you can get through an emotional, hormonal 10, 11, 12, 13 year old, you have done the hard work. Hang in there. High school is a cakewalk compared to middle schoolers. And so like, I want to encourage you, especially if you're in that pre-adolescent teen who cries and you don't know why and they don't know why. That's the hardest part of homeschooling high school.
I'm laughing over here because I remember, and just real briefly, I'll say it. I'm a high school teacher and I will be a high school teacher. I would not go to any other level. And I remember one year I was coming back into teaching. I had left for a couple of years. I went to teach college, which I honestly don't like college either. I was like, ooh, they're just sassy high schoolers. Don't like it, you know? So I came back and they were going to put me in middle school. And I had started my teaching career in middle school. And when they said middle school, I was like, you know what? I think it's time that I just retire altogether. I was like, I am not going back to middle school. Like I was about to just be done for the rest of my life. I was like, no, not doing middle school. So you're right. If you parents are able to get through the middle school years, high school students, I have to admit, they are awesome. I don't know where all this crazy, like, oh, you have a, they are awesome. High school kids are fun. They have creative ways they think. They're a completely different being at this point. Something shifts in their brain and man, they're awesome to hang out with. And even today, when I was my bio students, they're 14 years old. They're just the beginning of teenagers, you know? I was able to talk to them like legit and be like, hey, I just want you guys to know that your brains are still two halves. They haven't even made connections yet. You haven't don't have those neurological connections that are going across yet. And they're happening. They're happening slowly. And they're going to take another 10 years for your brain to fully form, 25 years old. I just said to him, I was like, don't make any concrete decisions about your body, about really anything until 25 years old, because your mind's going to change 100 times. Like if you do something to your physicality, you're going to be damaging your psyche. I'm just letting you guys know, let your body grow, let yourself change and develop and become the person you're supposed to be. You'll know as you do hard things in life and as you reach those 20s, I remember all of a sudden I was like, wow, I feel so calm. I remember that. I remember the crazy mind that used to just race all the time. Stopped, all these over emotions just really subsided. I remember just hitting 25 and being like, oh, I feel really good about myself. All those things just
changed. I tell my friends who have adult children that, oh, give it 25, you'll become smart again.
Yes. So good. Yes. Awesome.
Everything your mom told you was right. Your mom is brilliant. So yes. I just wait for my kids to get 25. So I got to get through middle school.
Yes.
Now I got to get through 2025 and then I become smart again.
It's true. I call my mom at 24. I said, Mom, I'm so sorry. And the apology phone call came. I remember 24, I was living in my own apartment and I just began to burst out crying, realizing all that she had done for me. And I called her and she laughed on the phone. She's like, no worries. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. But man, I bawled.
And I think that as homeschool parents, just to recap as we're signing off here, is that our goal is to help our children on board into adulthood and not alienate them so much that they don't want to give us those phone calls, and that our kids are going to be learning the rest of their lives. And we're not going to be able to jam everything they need to learn in 4 years. And to be okay with that, be okay with gaps in the education, because I just have to make sure if my kids have gaps, they know how to fill them later on. And if I can, with just a little bit more, I just love to give you this example of gaps in our home, in my own home education, that this beautiful example of, we were having a family dinner. We do a family dinner once a week. Kids come home. They're all sitting around talking. And these are adults, you know, bantering with each other, giving each other a hard time. One was giving them a hard time because she doesn't know where anything is in the United States. But the other kid knows she's been to, you know, she's been on mission trips. She's been all over the place. So geography, she knows it. The other kid knows all about art. And as they were like teasing each other about their gaps, I thought, that's beautiful. My kids have gaps, but if they wanted to know information, they know how to access it. And so even though they had these different educational experiences, they knew what they wanted to know and they knew how to get information after graduation. And that's
the powerful
thing, right? Is that creating learners for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's powerful. You said something there that was really powerful, that they know where to get the information. So basically, we teach them how to learn so that if we don't teach a subject, they will still be able to learn that later on in life on their own, because they need to become lifelong learners. So that way they are teachable. And, you know, I've seen people who grow up, get older, and they're like, you know, I'm done learning. And you find that people who are done learning when they get older, in a sense, they stop living. Like your life just isn't meaningful and joyful anymore. You find that little bitterness. But when you are a lifelong learner and you're teachable and things still excite you about life, and you realize that I just barely scratched the surface. I'm 40 years old and I barely scratched the surface on learning now, you know? And actually in a couple of years, I'll be 50, which is mind blowing to me when I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm gonna be 50 in 2 years? No, that didn't happen, but it did, you know? And it's a cool thing when I think about it, because I'm like, wow, my second half of life is going to be better than my latter half of life. So I'm excited for this next, this jubilee, this next chapter in my life. And that's because I am a lifelong learner and I've taught myself to be teachable, and I keep that teachable spirit, that wonder.
And you know, in my workshops, I do touch on about the parent, the mom, or the parent who's putting most of the energy in, not to forget themselves, that the perfect thing for you to do for your child is to become a lifelong learner yourself. Like my husband and I, we're like pushing that 60 mark here.
And you look great.
Oh, thanks. But we're in farm classes. We decided that our second stage of life and retirement, like we want to own like 200 acres, like we want a farm. And so we enrolled in classes, like we're in an intensive 1 year program where we go to classes 3 days a week. And my kids are just like, not even fazed by it, because we've been showing them, you're like, my husband's taken college classes himself, or we're always trying to learn. And don't get lost as a homeschool parent and just put all your focus on your kids. You need to be the example also of being that lifelong learner. So
you're such an inspiration. You really are. You've just inspired me so much in this conversation. And I'm just so thankful that you took your time. I know you're in the middle of doing so many things, you know, selling your house, taking this farming course and doing your own gardening right now. And it's just, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, sharing just all of your expertise. And I'm looking forward to hearing all the parents who are going to email you, and I get the chance to hear about it, to find out like just how their life has changed just by connecting with you and hearing this podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for doing what you're doing. It's so needed to have these open conversations. And I really appreciate you inviting me here.
Awesome. If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.